The words of the old Christian hymn go like this. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say to you than to you that he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. With this assurance of the word of God that we are on his foundation and he will not forget us, I say happy Sabbath to you. And as I heard the choir sing about God's word, I would just like all of us this morning, as we come here to worship, that we will trust, find a refuge in the word of God. I'd just like to welcome all our worshipers here this morning, our visiting friends, newly baptized members. But in a very special way, I'd just like to single out Sister Cynthia Myers. Amen, church. It's been a while that Sister Cynthia has been with us. We give God thanks that she's well enough. Tony and others, welcome. God bless you. And also to say a word to Sister Hansen. Sister Hansen, faithful Sister Hansen, she has had her health challenges. But we give God thanks that you're here this morning. God bless you, Sister Hansen, and all others. Lord, as we open your words, speak through me now, I pray, through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen. Faith overcoming doubters. Faith overcoming doubters. That's the message the Lord has laid on my heart to present to his people today. Doubt is something that we all experience. And may I challenge you that even good Christians like you experience doubt at one time or another. Isn't that so? It sounds like it's only me alone experience doubt. When bad things happen to us, we wonder, why isn't God there making it all better for me? When you need an answer, like when you pray, maybe for a sick child or for a financial solution that you need, and there is no answer, the answer is not coming fast enough, we begin to doubt. Is God hearing me? Is there any sin in my life? You know what I'm talking about? Is there any sin? Why? And sometimes we have doubt. But I'd like to tell you this morning that it's important to understand what causes a Christian, or who causes a Christian to doubt God. And perhaps I would like to suggest that the primary cause for doubt is Satan. That fellow who planted that seed of doubt in Eve's mind in Genesis chapter 3. But first, I want you to read Genesis 2, 15 to 17. Just laying the base for where the doubt, why the doubt was set up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. On the screen, they have NIV. And I'm reading from the New King James. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Watch verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Don't it sound clear cut enough? The basic thing. Set up. Do not do it. And there's a consequence for doing or to going contrary. It sounds very simple. Straightforward, right? Okay. Watch where the element of doubt sets up. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 1 to 6, and probably, quickly go with that. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of it, God said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Straightforward. Isn't that so? She entered into a dialogue with Satan, and she is repeating what God said. Perfect. And you and I can identify with that. What at verse 4? The sequence of the events changed a little bit. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God says one thing. You will die. And then someone comes and say, you shall not surely die. Who do you believe? Of course, all of us will say God. But tell me, in the times in your life when God has said something and you go contrary to it. God says, you pray to me and I will come through for you. But you doubt whether or not God will come through for you. Is there a challenge in your life right now that you have been praying about? And you wonder, has God been hearing me? Do you have any such challenge? Well, and the old serpent continues, for God knows that the day in the eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Trouble. God tells one consequence, and now Satan is showing a nice pretty picture. And then, verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Tragedy. Tragedy. God says the consequence would be death, and death it was. Here, we see a situation where Eve rehearsed God's instructions, but she listened to the voice of one who sowed doubt, and the consequence followed. Thanks be to God, that was not the end of the story. Even though we doubt and we sinned, the words come back to us of the old hymn I quoted earlier, I'll never, no, never forsake thee. And Genesis 3 verse 15 comes into sharp focus immediately. And it says there, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The Bible commentary has a very interesting comment on verse 15. The Bible commentary explains, and I quote, here the Lord turns from addressing the literal serpent who spoke to Eve to pronounce judgment on the old serpent, the devil. This judgment expressed in prophetic language has ever been understood by the Christian church as a prediction of the coming of the deliverer. And so right there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we have the prophetic I should say, here we have the prophecy pointing to the deliverer, the one who would come to end all of this doubt, all of this sin problem. This pronouncement must have brought great comfort to the two dismayed offenders standing before God, from whose precepts they had departed. How kind was God? Divine justice required that sin should meet its penalty, but divine mercy had already found a way to redeem the fallen race by the voluntary sacrifice of the Son of God. And I say amen. If the story had ended with Eve sinning, it would have been tragedy for everyone. But there is hope. And I'd like to tell you this morning that your choice will determine what you do with this sacrifice. And it takes faith to make the right choice. You can keep going on doubting what God says and face the consequence, or you can accept what God offers and also live with a good consequence. And what God offers is eternal life. He offers deliverance from sin. But work with me. I'm still looking at faith overcoming doubters. Doubt can lead us to sin. And prolonged doubt can lead to unbelief. But we need not dwell there. You and I have a choice as to who we believe in this life. And I challenge you very early. I challenge you to accept the word of God. Stop doubting God and proceed forthwith by trusting what he says. God is too wise to be mistaken. And I would rather trust God any day. Any day I would rather trust God than the wisest of you inside here, with all due respect. My God is too wise to be mistaken. My God is too wise to make a mistake. And because of that, in as much as I love you, I trust God more than what you say. You know why? I've said it many times. God loved me so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for me. And it was Christ who went to Calvary for me, not you. Not me, you either. So, I am prepared to, if I have doubts on any matter, I am prepared to seek wisdom from God. Turn with me to James 1, verses 5 to 8. And listen what I said. If I have doubts about anything that God says, who will I turn to? Who will I seek the wisdom from? All right, James 1, 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how? Liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask how? Let him ask how? Remember earlier I say, in making that choice, you will require faith to make the right choice. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like what? Is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And I love verse 8, and I stop at verse 8. A double-minded man is what? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So, I am saying, if you want to make Christ your choice, you cannot be double-minded. You cannot be seeking Christ one day on Sabbath, and on Sunday you're going to seek somebody else. That is totally inconsistent with faith. If I say that I have faith in God today, I must be consistent tomorrow. Any of you ever come across a double-minded person yet? Let me ask the ladies. Ladies, have you ever come across a double-minded man? Eh? Eh? All the time? I hear some ladies say all the time. Let me tell you, the worst thing you can find is a double-minded individual.
They do not know their minds. And the only thing worse than a double-minded man is a double-minded Christian. Spiritual instability will cause the seeds of doubt to bloom. When you are double-minded, you cannot make up your mind. You cannot be focused. It leads to spiritual instability. And spiritual instability will cause the seeds of doubt to bloom. To combat this, we must be diligent students of Christ. Just like the disciples, we must follow Christ, learning his teachings, learning his ways, if we are ever to become stable in our faith. And talking of stable in our faith, it means that we must, as the leaders of our church, in their urgent appeal for revival and reformation, they ask us, and I do not know if my technicians can put this on the screen for me. Our leaders, as we talk about revival and reformation, they have made an urgent appeal to the members of the church. And you know what urgent appeal is? To individually set aside significant amounts of time daily to fellowship with Christ through prayer and study of God's word. So this matter of faith, overcoming doubt. Do not ever believe that you get up one day and you have faith. We are living in the midst of a doubtful generation. But our leaders, as we talk about revival and reformation, individually set aside significant amounts of time daily to fellowship with Christ through prayer and study of God's word. I was at a meeting recently, and I heard someone says, if we calculate the number of time, the number of hours spent listening to certain events that concluded yesterday, that if you factor that and you compare with the amount of time you spent with prayer and Bible study, you'll be ashamed of your own self. Carried further, if you calculate all the time you spend listening to the news, watching television, and doing everything else, and you contrast that with the amount of time you spend with prayer and God's word, then we'll get down on our knees and start to pray. Amen? But yet still, we want to have a revival of godliness in our lives. We want to be reformed in our lives. We want to have faith enough to overcome the doubt. It will not come like that. But God has made a way for us to get there. The time spent with God daily will strengthen our faith, and will greatly give us victory over doubt and doubters. And notice, I am make a little switch here. Not just doubt, but I'm putting in doubters. There are times when you feel that you are overcoming, that your spirituality is growing, until you find yourself in a group of people who are naysayers, who are negative, who are teardown artists. In other words, they are doubters. You want to do something, you want to do something great with your life, and you go to an individual, you can't make it. You know those kind of people? Did you want to do everything? You come to them and you ask for a word of encouragement. You ask for a word of prayer. My sister, my brother, I don't think you can make it that way. Rather than be saying, let us pray about the matter that the Lord will give you. Will give you the strength to go on. There are some individuals are at a point they want to make that decision to follow the Lord Jesus. And what do you find? You find that their very family members will say that you can't make it. I'm here to tell you this morning that there's any challenge in your life and you believe that God is leading you, then you can go there. You can get there regardless of the challenge. And you know what I said? Regardless, whatever the problem is with God, you can be an overcomer. But let me just hold back a little bit. As you move on along, and as you come in contact with the doubters, and I see them every day, just remember, you are not alone. Sometimes it's not easy to stay focused when the majority around you only see the doom and gloom. But I'd like to assure everyone this morning that we have a great message. We're sure who our leader is, and we are sure as to how the outcome of this story will be. As Danny Shelton loves to say, he has read the back of the book, and he knows how the story will end. You and I, we have read the back of the book, and we know that the story will end in victory. It must end in victory. So regardless of what you're going through, regardless of all the doubters that you come across daily, just remember, turn to the back of the book and you shall be an overcomer. It shall be victory for the overcomer. We are not there yet. That is the sad part of it. We are not there yet, but we can be encouraged to continue the struggle by following the instructions and to be encouraged by a brother who has seen the best of times and the worst of times. I'm going to tell you briefly, a brother named Caleb. We studied about him a few quarters back. And as I contemplated this message, and, you know, I did a little thing at home. I asked some family members, who in the Bible you think is a great person of faith? One person said Enoch. One person said Job. And then I asked it, you know, randomly around, and I get the same combination. And then someone suggested, you remember Caleb? And then I remembered Caleb. And I dug up an old quarterly. And there was a quotation. It says, Caleb knew what slavery was like. He had been there when the Lord had led his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He had seen the sea open before Israel and swallowed the Egyptian chariots and army. He had been with Israel at Mount Sinai, and he had seen Moses descend from the mountain with God's law. He had been one of the first to see the land of Canaan, and through no fault of his own, he had to spend 40 of his best years wandering in the desert with the Israelites. He had watched all of his generation die there. At last, as an old man, he was able to enter into the land of Canaan. That's Caleb. He demonstrated courage and faith in God. He knew where he was going, but discouragement and doubters were many along the way. And so as I contemplated the experience of Caleb, I want you to turn to our scripture reading. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 25 and on. Overcoming doubters. Numbers 13. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and show them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Enoch there. I spent a little time and I looked up the word from the commentary, nevertheless. And I share it with you this morning. The word translated nevertheless is one that suggests something impossible with God. There was a suggestion, there was a subtle suggestion in their mind that something is impossible. Something impossible to God. Its use here implies their lack of faith and reveals their sin. Had they merely stated the facts of the situation, they would have done all that was required of them. But in giving this word, they interpose their private opinion that the task was more than the strength of Israel could accomplish. Is there anything that you believe is impossible with God this morning? Is there anything you believe in your life you believe is impossible with God? If you are contemplating that, I'd like you to remember Caleb. And I'm going to read a very simplified, but yet still stunning account of that same situation with the children of Israel. And then I summarize. When the Israelites reached a place, as in verse 25, called Kadesh Barnea, they were right at the southern edge of the land of Canaan. Before going on, it was suggested that they send spies to look over the land. This sounded good to Moses. He immediately presented the idea to the Lord. He did everything right. Who gave his approval with instruction that a leader from each of the 12 tribes should carry out this dangerous mission. These men were to check out the natural advantages of the country, learn all they could about the kind of people living there, observe the kinds of soil, and bring back a sampling of the fruit of the land. Sound reasonable so far? The people anxiously watched the spies leave. Time slipped away slowly. After 40 days, the spies finally returned. Word spread rapidly throughout the camp. There was a lot of hooing and hawing over the huge, delectable fruit that had been gathered. What excitement! How the people rejoiced over the fruit that could soon be theirs. Everyone crowded around, listening intently to the report that the spies gave to Moses. Can you imagine you were there? And you send out some brethren out to do a spy work, and they come back with these big grapes. Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good? Of course, I'd want to go, because the first thing, I'd want to taste one of these grapes. You know, the whole experience looked like, whoa, God is at work here. The men have brought back good sampling of what was in the land. They didn't want to miss any word. They want to be there to get the account. All the spies admitted that the land was flowing with milk and honey, which was a happy phrase used back then to describe a fruitful land. But then, there was this sour note. 10 of the spies stopped the cheering with the words, "Nevertheless." Go back to verse 28 there. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large." Stunned, the people started to cry, complain, and to sob out their unbelief. What a contrast. Many of these people would have seen all the miraculous things which have taken place. River opening up wide. Waters gathered up on either side. Your enemies being destroyed, and yet still, and they have seen the fruit from the land, and yet still, they started to doubt whether or not God would see them through. The message this morning, my brothers and sisters, regardless of what you see happening around, just remember, God has promised you victory. I am aware, and I'm very seriously aware of the times that we are living in. Times are hard. You cannot find people to trust. Things are difficult. The finances are rough. And the students worrying about the CAPE and the CXC coming up around the corner. They're not worrying about how the fees are going to be paid. No, the fees have been paid already. But they are worrying about the exams coming up. Just remember, if you get nothing else this morning, just remember, God is able to carry you through. God is able to carry you through. And so, as this complaining starts, it sounds like us, don't it? We complain. No need to complain. God knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is to follow. The people, they cried, "Oh me, oh my, isn't it awful? We can't go into Canaan." But I'm so happy. two of the spies did not agree. Joshua and Caleb both knew that God would keep his promises, no matter how high the walled cities or how strong the enemy. Caleb tried to calm the crowd. And quickly to verse 12. I loved it. Verse 30, sorry. I love this verse so much. Caleb, he stepped from nowhere. He just came out. He calmed the crowd with the words of this text. And you read this text with me. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said what? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What a powerful word. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the decisions you need to make in your life, keep that there. Remember, let us go up at once and possess the land which the Lord has made for us. That day with Caleb, it was the day of the doubters. The people were ready to disbelieve. They most likely would have doubted if only two spies had brought back the evil report. Instead of focusing on what God could do, they cried about what they couldn't do. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Let me tell you. I want you to take 30 seconds. Reflect in your own life. Is there something in your life that you have been struggling with? Is there a sin problem? Is there a financial problem? Is your mother giving you trouble? Sorry, your mother-in-law giving you trouble? Pray about it. Is your husband? Karen, is your husband? Is your husband giving you trouble? Pray about it. Is it your wife giving you trouble? Is the choir leader giving you trouble? Is it your salvation giving you trouble? Are you wondering whether or not you'll be able to make it? Newly baptized members, Arcadia, good to see you here this morning. Are you wondering, is it the right decision you make? Young ones who were born in this church, Sandra, you're wondering if it's the right decision you make? Young ones who were born in this church and you have not seen outside there, are you wondering whether or not out there is better than inside? There are some things in life, it's only a fool who'd want to experience everything for him or herself. Others who have been out there have told me that out there is rough, so it's better to stay inside here. But whatever doubt, whatever is an area of doubt, take it to God, because God will has assured us that he is well able to help us to overcome it. Today, as I close this message, I would like to appeal to all our worshipers. Number one, know God for yourself. You cannot be an overcomer based on someone else's experience. You cannot know God for yourself. Know why you're a Seventh-day Adventist. Know why you hold on to the precious promise. Know why you hold on to the three angels message. Know why you hold on to the Sabbath message. Know why you believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Hold on to this, because when you do that, when the doubting time comes, you'll be strong, because your foundation is not in man. Your foundation will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, spend time with God in prayer and study of the word. Put back that point, that special point up there. Spend time with God daily in prayer and in Bible study. Number three, the Lord has promised us a home. And you doubt that? Read John 14, 1 to 3. It tells me, let not your heart be troubled. Let me tell you, sometimes when the problems hit me, as they hit you, I just go back to the Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. What? Say it with me. I love that part. I love that part. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. And he says, if it were not so, I would not have told you. Can you trust God? Is God a double-minded man? No. I can trust God, and because I can trust God, it gives me hope. Number one, know God for yourself. Number two, spend time with God in prayer and study. And number three, just remember the promises of God. But there may be those here today who have not yet accepted the Lord. But His Spirit been talking to you, but you have been putting it off because you have doubted whether or not, you know, I've heard sometimes in the Bible study and study with people, they say, you know what? I am afraid to make the move. The timing is not right yet. I may make the move, and what if I make the move and I stumble? So what? Nothing new. If you make the move and you stumble, my God is there to help me. I say to you, if you're here this morning and you have not yet accepted the Lord, but you know the Holy Spirit been talking to you that you need to do this and have the faith that the Lord will give you strength to overcome, then the message is for you. And if you have been here and you have accepted the Lord a long time ago, but you are struggling, there are elements in your life, there are elements in your belief system, there are elements in your behavior pattern that you need to surrender to the Lord, this sermon for you.